Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a fun one. We are down in Slauncha. I came dressed for the party, not to be the party pooper. I think it's the last time I'm going to be able to wear my Baltimore 22 jersey. We were here for soccer celebration, but I had these great folks lined up as well because we're celebrating something that's probably even more near and dear to my heart than even sports or music or soccer or the city, which is journalism, which is where it all began. I already made the first mistake when I had MTS Patel and Kimi Yoshino stop by of saying same titles as we had at the paper back at the News American when I walked in January 20th of 1984. We had an editor-in-chief and we had a publisher. Jim Tedman was there, and our friends that I had back in the day, and at the Baltimore Sun, Reg Murphy, and people that I was afraid of getting called into their office because it was like the principal's office. So you guys have come here and really taken this thing by storm. We're a couple days out on launch. I've been following things, including the Angelo story with Fenton. So kudos before we even get going that I think some in our audience will know of both of you and of your launch. And certainly has not been easy to come to Baltimore and pull this off, right?
No, it's been a lot of work, hiring a lot of people and putting a good team together to basically get this thing done. And it really started with getting Kimi.
Well, Kimi, talk to me a little bit, because when we've met off the field in Los Angeles and California and where journalism is, where the money in journalism is, and you come at it honestly, you're a real reporter. When people have asked me about you, I'm like, she went and fought Disney. She went and fought a city over corrupt government. It's sort of that kind of reporting that there's some of it out there, but it's not being funded the right way. And this is a different kind of model than the traditional model that I left almost 30 years ago that you've been a part of for the last 30 years.
Right, for sure. I mean, I think what we're finding is that there's a lot of room for national news. There's a lot of room for the big stories, world and nation, the big giants in media. And it's a lot harder for the little guy to succeed now.
Well, I am the little guy, right? I had an AM radio station. I have a website. I sort of understand where metrics are and what people are buying. You all have taken this in a different direction with reporters and picking reporters and picking what you're going to cover. And starting with the newsletter and how your first launch of give me your email address, right? And I've gone on at length on the air and off the air about my experience with the Baltimore Sun, giving them my credit card for a dollar at Christmas one year and then never being able to undo that, right? Yeah. So there is a level of trust when you say, we're the Baltimore Banner. And even today, my chiropractor, Dr. Steve Elliott, who I was with, said, I follow Fenton, so Fenton goes to the Banner, I go to the Banner, right? So you guys have come at this by trying to take on the best of the best Pulitzer Prize-winning people that the Sun has spawned, but realizing that there is a gap here. I mean, I feel it at every press conference. I mean, I was at the soccer press conference. I just feel like we don't have enough media here. Keith Mills, who is a legendary sportscaster, saw me yesterday at Ravens practice and said, let those people know we're pulling for them. So I think there is that, because I think we can only be, we can only be a better city when we have a bigger spotlight on all the things you want to spotlight, the good and the bad, right?
That's right. I mean, I've said this repeatedly, that this city is better the more journalists that are here. And frankly, it doesn't matter how many, people we hire, there are plenty of stories to go around. There are too many stories that aren't being covered.
And just tell me about your involvement in this. And I guess at some point I'll sit down with Stuart Bainum and when your phone rings and where Ted plays in this. Because anybody who knows me knows I had a special relationship with Ted, especially at the end of his life. I always kidded him about it. I campaigned against him in 1976 over in East Baltimore County. My father supported John Coulihan back then, the Lion of Halethorpe. But I love Ted, and Ted always had this vision to buy the Sun. And I would always say to Ted, you don't need to buy the Sun. Like, the Sun to me was a tired brand. It was a newspaper business once the internet hit 06, 08, social media. I always felt like it was teetering. Ted had a different vision, though, and for what this has become and what the Institute's become and where your involvement is as the leader in all of this, the best part is you knew Ted. The worst part is we lost Ted, right?
That's right. I mean, I only knew Ted for about a year. I felt like I've known him for 20 years. and he's a big loss to us. But a lot of, you know, Ted originally wanted to buy the Sun, and he wanted to turn it into something that really served the community, had a big impact on the community. And he was also the one who said, okay, if we can't get the Sun, let's do what they've done out in Texas, like the Texas Tribune, and create our own startup and serve the mission.
And there was a model.
There was a model.
I remember him talking to me about this, and I see certainly with the tragedy in Uvalde, right, like that shined an even greater spotlight on that publication. You guys got some snowball love from, you know, a couple weeks ago on late night television. There is... People are looking for some people that love news and value it, not value it for being a know-it-all, but valuing it for what it can be for a community, and seeing that the de-evolution of media locally has really caused a lot of problems in the structure of how government is. And Kimmy, I know you were a big part of that out in L.A., that even the L.A. Times doesn't have enough sleuths to sleuth out the things that you found out on your own beat about corruption, correct?
Right. I mean, even in a newsroom in a city like L.A., I think there's probably 500 reporters there. There's 88 cities in L.A. County. You know, most of those cities, reporters aren't going to city council meetings.
And many of them challenge communities, right?
That's right.
Well, where do you find yourselves here in the last 6 to 8 months after we lose Ted? You make a decision to come. You make a decision to start to recruit staff. Tell me about Ted in the beginning of this and how Kimmy got into this before we even get to this week, because I think a lot of this, the last 90 days, you guys have been out in the light and seeing your reporters and seeing where it is. I'm more interested in the seed of how all this happened to begin with Stuart.
So when we didn't get the Sun, we thought there was a little window of opportunity where Alden, who bought the Sun, would sell it to us. It didn't happen. We reached out to them. They never responded. So we're like, okay, let's move full speed forward. And Ted Stewart and I got in a room, and we said, okay, what does this thing need to look like? Who do we need to talk to here in Baltimore, in the state, to get their advice, their input, and learn from other models around the country? So that's what we did. Ted Stewart and I went to New York to talk to ProPublica, the city, which is another startup there, people at Bloomberg. We met with a bunch of people here, met with others around the country, and started forming this idea. And Ted was there every step of the way as like our, our spirit guide.
Spiritual godfather is what I call him.
That's what he is. And then we said, okay, let's start building this thing out. So we started and we knew we needed to be commercially viable, meaning not a profitable organization, but at least get to break even. So we're going to have to get help and support from a lot of different people through subscriptions, donations, and so on. So we started building that capability and then started really searching for an editor-in-chief. And after, like, I don't know, four to 5 months, we found Kimmy. She comes on board, and then she starts building out her team. We didn't hire a single person in the newsroom until we hired her, because it was her call, and then we started really putting the strategy together.
Well, functionally, when I think about this, if Ted and you and Stuart had taken control of the Sun, you would functionally have a lot of problems, lots of debts, lots of issues, lots of old sores, and we know of, you know, people fight in cities, right? We see it all the time. Then there's the part for you, Kimmy, where you say, well, starting from scratch might not be a bad idea. It might be a good idea. It might be a better idea. But you've decided to take on a whole new life. I mean, I had a chance to have a crab cake with you, moving coast to coast, starting all this off in a new community where you're trying to learn community here, and also jumping off the deep edge of what old journalism and the newspaper, as you would say, would be, and what this is. What should I call it? If I'm not calling a newspaper, what do I call it?
We are a news media company.
Perfect.
Right. Channel agnostic.
So you find an opportunity. You had a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a really good gig. That's when you were recruited, I thought, well, this is a person coming with... that wants to be a pioneer and take a few arrows. And certainly you've probably done that in the first 6 months.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, I've often told Stuart and Imtiaz that the best thing that ever happened to them was not actually buying the Baltimore Sun. Because with that comes, as you know, baggage and, you know, a lot of preconceived ideas and you know, old wounds, some staff that's really probably print first rather than digital first, people that are set in their ways. And this was actually an opportunity for us to just start completely fresh and do it how we want to do it.
Well, this fun, challenging, all of this at this point in your life?
So much fun. More fun. I mean, this, I can't even describe what the last 6 months have been like. It's just been exhilarating, fun, challenging. And to see it all come together this week, when we finally kind of flipped the switch and turned the site live, it was just so rewarding. And there were tears in our newsroom. I mean, people, reporters, including some who had come over from the Sun, you know, it was just kind of the culmination of a lot of work and a lot of hope.
In the competition, because it's going to be perceived as such, and that probably is the reality, you know, out on the street looking for news, and even in this World Cup story that I compete with you. I mean, I'm gleaning information as I sat here the last hour about how we didn't get the World Cup. You broke the story, and Fenton and I threw out a shout-out to you out on Twitter when Fenton broke the story in regard to it, because I thought, this is, sports is essential to our life here, right? Sports is what I've done for 31 years. It was the first part, it was how I learned how to read the newspaper. That was the part of the section. I wasn't the funnies or the wishing well or any of that stuff. I was all about sports. This town here has bigger fish to fry in some cases, you could say that. Maybe World Cup, but there's also a part of it that perception's reality, and our football team and our baseball team sort of leads us, more so than The Wire or even Crabs or Crab Cakes, or, you know, famous people from here, Michael Phelps. But the sports part of this thing is you're covering that without realizing you're covering that, because it comes to you when the brothers Angelos are fighting about the baseball franchise.
Right. That's right. I mean, I think that is, to date, our single best story that we've published so far. You know, it drove a lot of audience and kind of underscored the fact that people are passionate about the Orioles. And, you know, Angelo's family isn't exactly top of the list of people, loved people in the city.
Well, there's very few things that can bring 50,000 people downtown on any given night, right? We saw Paul McCartney last week do that. Did you guys do McCartney or no?
I did.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was fantastic.
By the way, I got a little inside thing. I walked in here three different times as I sat here and waited for you today. I heard a Wham and George Michael. I heard Careless Whisper in here. So, I know you're a music guy, right?
No.
Because I follow you guys on Twitter. I'm in on all the inside stuff.
I am a George Michael fanboy. I love George Michael.
See, I told you. I was sitting here whistling Careless Whisper a little while ago. MTS Patel is here. Kimmy Yoshino from the Baltimore Banner. They've taken a little time. We're over at Solancha. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourselves play. I've got the blue and the pink Betty Boops. We're giving these away. It's also our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill. I'm doing the 2-for-2 windows this month in my place, and hopefully we get a part of that as well. All right, so launching this week and finding... when you launch a paper, it like comes out, it's physical, and, you know, turning on the website from what was a newsletter that I get, and various offers and information. You guys have come at this real honest with personal letters, you know, to the audience saying, here we are, and you're obviously here at Solancha in the middle of Fells Point on a 100-degree day saying, here we are. But there is a provinciality to all this, that I'm from here and you're not from here, and part of you being from here is the intellectual curiosity you both clearly have, but there is a part of this is a weird, quirky place. You'll probably be figuring that out the rest of your walking days.
That's what makes it such a great place to be.
Pull your mic up just a little bit for I'll hear you a little bit better. There you go. Perfect. But for you guys to come here and get an office at the harbor, I saw the B go up and the A go up, and the pride with your reporters. And listen, I'm not friends with Justin Fenton or Pam Wood. I mean, I've had them on my show. I know them socially. I can't even say that I have a friend that you've hired, but I have a lot of people I'm familiar with that I know their work. And that's probably the way it should be as a newspaper guy and as a reader and a consumer and a Twitter follower. You've empowered your people, you know, whether it's your photographers, your inside people. You've made me want to follow this interesting cast of it's like a cast in a Broadway show. You know, you're trying to put the right people in the right position so you can cover the news. But I'm sensing from your reporters there's some spirit in there that you're trying to do from the beginning that the Baltimore Sun and that badge couldn't do. I remember the first time I got the Baltimore Sun on my car in 1986. I took that home to my father. My father had tears in his eyes. He was so proud that I had a job at the paper and I was going to get a gold watch. And you're starting something from new where the spirit is from it's what you make it. And I'm seeing real enthusiasm from your staff. And it feels fun to be on the outside watching people who were wondering if they were going to have a job, keep a job, what's happening to the paper, have some hope here. You guys have to make this thing fly over the next 5 years, right? But there's a bounce in the step for everyone you've hired, right, Kimmy? And people that sat in front of you despondent, where you thought, this person has potential, they just need to work in a better organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I want to be clear. All of those reporters that we hired for the Sun, they loved working there. They believed deeply in that newspaper.
That's why they were still there.
That's right. And they didn't want to go anywhere. What they didn't like was the ownership. And, you know, they didn't like their newsroom being, made smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think one of the things that we have going for us is that when you build a new newsroom from the start, you can handpick the reporters that you want, the editors that you want. And they all came to us because they truly believe in Baltimore and because they believe in the work we're doing. And so we really emphasize mission. What are we trying to do here? And they're all on board. And so it's sort of a rare moment to be working at a place where everybody is here because they have chosen to be here for one reason.
You mentioned mission. MTS, let's talk mission. When you sit with Ted and you sit with Stuart, and if you had taken the Sun or not, obviously two different paths. I love this fresh start. I loved it all along. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so invested, so blessed that you guys decided to come here on day one or day two, whatever it is, to sit here and give me a little bit of the background and tell me how the sausage is made on all this stuff. Mission and saying, all right, we're not the Sun. We're not a newspaper. We're a news media online organization. But then what you're trying to say to all these people that you're now recruiting as to what's this going to be 18 months, 36 months from now? What's the Baltimore Banner going to what am I going to say? I'm not going to call it a newspaper because I'm never going to hold it in my hand.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
Exactly. No, we spent a lot of time thinking about our mission. And really, at the end of the day, I'm going to paraphrase. There's two components to it. One is about really serving the community at the end of the day. We want to make Baltimore better. The way we choose to do it is through journalism, like by telling the stories of different people. We think we've got to hold leaders accountable, all that kind of stuff, which journalism does. But we also got to tell the other side of quirky Baltimore, right? Like all the good stories, what's positive. One of the things we've realized since moving here is there's so much good here. There's so many
You're
positive
You're on Baltimore
stories.
Positive, man.
Exactly.
You know, you really are.
And we've got to tell those stories as well. So that's part of our mission. So it's at the end of the day, it's about impact. The second piece of this is really, we're an experiment. We're trying to show, can we build a nonprofit news organization that's sustainable that other communities around the country can do as well? So that is the kind of the bigger kind of the news industry mission as well. And that's what we talk about. So how I see this panning out over the next few years, so we've hired about 70 plus people already.
Not all writers, though. That's
not all
full
writers.
Staff. Okay.
Full staff, because we went heavy on the business side initially because we need to become sustainable. In the newsroom, there's probably about 42, 43 people. That number in the newsroom is going to go north of 60 by year end. Right, and then it's going to go north of that to the plan is somewhere between 100, 120 people.
When it's mature, as you see it. Okay.
In the next 2 to 3 years,
okay.
I would say. And that'll allow us to cover not just the city and Baltimore County, but really get into the surrounding counties and also do more statewide as well. We are covering the state capital right now. And we're going to be on different platforms, right? The site, app will come in the next few months. We're going to have podcasts. We'll have more newsletters. We're going to be on radio. So there's a lot of different things coming. This thing is like a modern news organization leveraging all the channels at its disposal, because what we want to do is get stories out there. Doesn't matter how you want to consume, we got to get the stories out there.
What did you learn from Texas Tribune that mistakes that you're not going to make, because they made them, all right? And more than that, what'd you borrow? And what's not to be borrowed? Because this is different. I mean, when I hear Texas, I think Texas. When I hear Baltimore, I think, you know, ultra small, right? And serving a very defined group of people, where I think Texas is like kind of all over the place. But trying to do it in an urban center like this, this is a different kind of experiment than that, even.
Yeah, so what we did is we not only talked to Texas Tribune, but pretty much every startup around the country. Look up Santa Cruz, Daily Memphian in Memphis, Block Club Chicago in Chicago, The City in New York.
See, I'm not familiar with a lot of those. When you say The City, is that more of like a city paper kind of a vibe that I would know it being an East Coaster?
It's
a hyper-local news site. Yeah. I mean, I think
it would be a tabloid if it were a newspaper.
Well, look, the New York Times does a lot of amazing things. I think The City is trying to really cover the city.
Understood. Yeah, I mean, but as a rival to the New York Times, that's not
it's not a rival to the New York
Times.
But
in this town, you can be a rival to the Baltimore Sun, to that brand.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we're all, the one thing we're all trying to do is fill in the gaps, right? What's happened over time in local news is it's been financially really, really difficult. So people cut back on local news coverage and they fill that with national and international news, so you miss the local stuff. What all these other small startups around the country and us were trying to do is fill in the gap with local news. We're not even going to do national or international. It's all about local, and that's where the opportunity is. So in a way, yeah, you're competing, but you're not really competing because you're covering the gaps in the marketplace.
MTS Patel and Kimmy Yoshino from the Baltimore Banner. They are our guests. We're down here doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. There will be crab cakes involved here because I see the water across the way. I want to, just on a fun side, we'll take a break. I'll come back and we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff about launch and your reporters and covering the news. Your favorite things about Baltimore thus far? What's the favorite thing that you've done or seen or would say, I did not know that about Baltimore? That's one of the things that makes Baltimore great on the front end.
I think the food is so much better than I expected and so different and varied.
Kimmy?
For me, I think it's that the city is so much more than the perception that I had as, you know, a Californian.
Had you both watched The Wire?
Yes.
Yes? I have not.
I did, but only after I had been hired.
And what did to glean from that? Just what it looked like, probably, as much as anything, right?
Right. I mean, I think I took from it what everybody takes from it, you know, that there were some serious challenges here to overcome.
Well, you launched this thing at an interesting time because, I mean, I've witnessed all this. I worked at both the newspapers in my, you know, my youth and interned in television and have owned radio all these years. You know, the accountability and the difficulty and the unpopularity of breaking news. You know, I've lived with that with Orioles fans, for better or worse, for telling the truth. And that, to me, that's the root of the challenge. But I want to take a break because we're 20 into this. Kimmy Yoshino, she is the editor-in-chief. MTS Patel, who is the publisher and CEO. I'm doing this without notes here. We're down here at Sláinte talking about the Baltimore Banner, talking about the future of journalism, and doing it with two people that are laying it on the line and bringing a lot of people in. But we're going to come out. I want to talk about We Own This Town. I want to talk about government, talk about the mayor. By the way, we're with the mayor on Monday at first at Next Phase Cafe, excuse me. On Monday, we'll be down there with Brandon Scott, and on Wednesday, we are at Fadley's in the morning, and I'm lining some guests up for that as well. Back for more. We're at Sláinte. We're going to be talking some more journalism. Stay with us. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.